Good morning, everyone. What a blessing it is to come together and worship the Lord. While it may not be the way that we're used to worshiping the Lord, at least we have this mechanism that He's provided where we can join together in heart and mind with one voice in order to praise His name. I'd like to begin our time together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful morning. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity to worship you. We pray that you'd be glorified in this time that we share together. And may your name be lifted up in all of it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin with, I would like to just share a few announcements with you. The first announcement has to do with the Helps Ministry that we're starting during this time. We want to connect people who have real needs with those who would like to help others. And so if you have a need, if there's anything that's going on in your life, we want you to contact the church. If you contact the church, contact Sharon in the office. We have lots of people who have volunteered to help. If you have special prayer requests, we have lots of people who want to pray. You can share those, and we can share that with our prayer team. We want to stay connected during this time until we're able to be all together again and worship the Lord in one place as we have done for 170 years. Finally, the last announcement is one that the deacons asked me to share, and that has to do with our finances during this time. We are so thankful for the generosity of God's people throughout the year. We're thankful that you have given so much and so sacrificially, and so we trust that God is going to meet our needs going forward. If you would like to give, you can go to our website. We have a page that allows you to do that. You can always send a check to the church at 2 Webster Street. But again, one thing we understand is that God has always provided for our needs, and we know that He will in the days ahead because He is faithful. Now we're going to turn our hearts to a song that our worship team recorded just for this morning. Let us worship the Lord together.
Yeah. boys and girls. It's great to see you all again. Today I have my surprise box with me. And I've been adding more surprises each day just for you. And when we come back to church again, we'll have a nice little bag of surprises that you can enjoy. That reminds me of a Bible story. One day, a Jewish religious leader came to Jesus in the middle of the night, and Jesus talked to him, and he said to him, "You must be born again." Well, the Jewish religious leader was really surprised. I know people can be born once, but how can they be born a second time? And Jesus explained that we're born physically and spiritually, and that we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, we are born spiritually when we believe on him. And while Jesus was still speaking with him, he shared my favorite Bible verse. It is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus came to earth and died the cross and rose again. He died to give us the free gift of eternal life, to pay for our sins. All we have to do is believe and trust in him. Why don't we pray and ask Jesus to come into our hearts right now? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins, come into my heart, and make me a member of your family. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a super week. God bless you all.
This week I had a chance to sit down with Pastor Ken and Adele Nanfeld. Pastor Ken was a pastor for something like 25 years at Mullenhill Baptist Church, which is now Cornerstone Community Church, a sister church of ours. Adele plays the organ at Central Congo, and their story is extraordinary. I hope you'll listen and enjoy that story.
That we are the result of parents who knew the Lord and were determined that their kids were going to live for the Lord.
The church I went to, as a lot of churches at that time, was a denominational church, and it had gone kind of liberal. We learned everything. We learned the Bible verses. I had, what do we call that, confirmation classes and all that. But somehow, there was something missing, the plan of salvation. And my mother recognized that because she had grown up, she knew the Lord. So when I was about 11, she brought me, Youth for Christ was big then. They were having rallies in Joliet, the next town. It was mostly for young people, but she took me there. And that's where I really understood for the first time that I needed to believe and that Christ died for me and I needed to accept him as my Savior. And so one Saturday night after we got home, I think I just got down by myself at the bed and prayed and asked Christ into my heart. Well, then I had heard that when Christ comes in, you're full of joy and everything. And so then I kind of sat there on the bed and I was waiting for this big joy thing to come, hit me and knock me over. That didn't really happen. But anyway, that's when I was born again.
When I was 5, one Sunday night, my mother and father had decided that she should go to Sunday night church. That's when churches all met on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. And my father was home, and he said, "You know, you need to ask Jesus into your heart and thank him that he died for you." So we knelt down by a sofa, I can picture it now, in Collingswood, New Jersey. And then that night I asked Christ to come into my heart and life, and I thanked him that he died for me. And I've known from that day until this that I belong to him. And so I am very grateful for that day. If you start to serve the Lord, of course, you become very disappointed in people. People you think you can depend on, you can't depend on. Mm-hmm. People do things, and then you do something stupid yourself. And, you know, then it brings you to the place where you understand that this gospel we're talking about is a gospel of the grace and mercy of God. Mm-hmm. God is merciful. He doesn't sit around waiting to mark points against us. Mm-hmm. And he's not standing around marking points for us. Mm-hmm. He's just waiting to do things. Like, I look at business, and we had some big things happen in business, and I think it's really a riot to think that I was never smart enough. When I was preaching in Mullen Hill, I was always over my head. I mean, always. When I was singing to big, huge crowds on radio and television. I think, what on earth are you doing here? But the thing is, God did that and blessed us. And it was all of Him. Mm-hmm. And it still is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, He gave me this wonderful wife. And we have just fabulous kids. I was talking to a psychiatrist friend the other day. And I was just thinking, you know, about our marriage. And then I thought, after I left him, oh, our three kids have great marriages. We have seven grandchildren married and have great marriages. Wow, what a deal. I mean, this is a storybook. It's unheard of in the day in which we live. So the Lord has blessed us with our family and with people and economically, financially.
Have you had a favorite verse that you've in your life?
Always Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek.
I just love opening the scriptures every day, every morning, and reading. But then you have to also slow down sometimes and just, you know, talk to the Lord and stay in one verse. And the Psalms, like you preached on Sunday. What a blessing. I just feel sorry for people who are, like now, so worried about what's going to happen. We've got this pandemic. Well, we've got Christ. We've got the scriptures. We've got the Lord. We don't have to panic. What a joy. What a blessing.
Well, of course, as a Christian, knowing that every day is the day before we're going to die, but you get prepared for that because that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And we'll be what we should have been all along when we see Jesus, as it says in 1 John. Mm-hmm. We see Him, we'll be like Him. Wow, what a difference that's going to make. Mm-hmm. Nobody will ever recognize me again. And so that there's hope. Hope, hope. Not just that this is going to pass, mm-hmm. but that if it doesn't pass me, we have a great, great future in heaven.
Well, wasn't that great to hear that story of Pastor Ken and Adele Nanfelt and the way that their parents prioritized their faith and their walk with the Lord? And so I'd like to read to you from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says this, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank, and his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant to the woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, 'I drew him out of the water.'" The story that we're looking at today is one that was born out of adversity. We have the story of Moses' parents and how in the midst of their time of joy of having a child, they also found it a time of great adversity. We notice in chapter 1, verse 22, that Pharaoh had given an order that he wanted all the Hebrew baby boys thrown into the Nile. And so this text introduces us to three women who God used to change the course of history forever. The first woman that's mentioned, it's a determined mother. That's Jochebed. That's Moses' mother. We read this, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. And so, as the story progresses, we discover that the baby is born, and the baby turns out to be a boy. And we notice that when his mother looked at him, she said, "He's a fine child." The word there for fine is kind of a neat word. It's the Hebrew word tov. And this is often used in different senses in the Bible. It can be used to describe someone who's good-looking, like David or Saul. But also, it's a word that was used to describe the goodness of God. When we read Acts chapter 7, verse 20, we notice that it says about Moses, it says that at that time Moses was born a beautiful child in God's eyes. There was something very special about Moses. And when his mother looked at him, she could see that. And the thought of him being cast into the Nile River must have struck her heart with great fear. But she was determined, and so she created a plan. You can imagine after 3 months, they couldn't hide that child anymore. So these parents, they came up with a wonderful plan to hide him. There's a few other things that we need to notice. Not only did she make him a very strong little basket, but this basket, actually the word for basket is the same word that's used for ark, like Noah's Ark. She was building something that would deliver him from his trouble. This was no small undertaking. She created this, put this substance on it that made it as hard as concrete. It tells us in the text that they placed this ark or this basket, they placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And they posted one of the other kids to watch what was happening. And probably it's Moses' sister Miriam. And so she was there watching. And another element that we notice here is that where he was placed was probably very strategic, because this was a place where members of the royal family bathed. And they were very careful. Those Egyptians were careful about trying to keep away dangerous crocodiles and other animals away from places where the royal family might be. It's hard to know all the details, but I think we're starting to get the picture that his family, they were determined. He had a determined mother, and she was going to do everything that she could to protect her child during this time. Now, this must have felt like one of the scariest things they could have imagined happening. Here they had taken all this time, they had created this plan to protect this little baby, and then all of a sudden, the daughter of Pharaoh decides that she's going to bathe in the water, and then the child and the ark that he's in captures her attention. Her servants fetch the basket for her, they bring it to her, and you can imagine the fear that must have gripped the hearts of the heart of Moses' sister as that daughter of Pharaoh took the baby out of the basket and held that child in her arms. At that moment, she had a choice. She had a choice to cast him into the Nile, surely on to his death, or she had a choice to have compassion on him and rescue him. Well, we know how the story went. She chose to show compassion. And so we have this picture of a compassionate stranger who God uses as part of his deliverance of his people. It's a beautiful picture. We notice it says, when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Instead of using her position to harm that little child, she used it to rescue him. It's amazing, isn't it? That young slave girl, Moses' sister, in the middle of all of that, stepped into action And she called out to the princess and she said, "Shall I go and find help for you so that this child can be nursed?" Well, God used that as part of his plan to rescue and deliver his people, the courage of that girl. And so there in that story, we notice that Moses was reunited with his mother and she was able to take him and nurse him. And a child in those days wasn't weaned until they were 3 to 5 years old. And so she was able to have a profound influence on her son's life. Well, as you know, that son grew up. He became one known as Moses. And God used Moses to deliver his people. And Moses is a forerunner of Jesus, who God sent to us to rescue us, his people, from our sin. Moses was used to rescue the people from physical bondage. Jesus came to rescue us from spiritual bondage, and it's through him that we have life. We notice in Moses' story that you have women who showed determination, and they showed compassion, and they showed courage. And really, when we think about those qualities, we see those same qualities in Jesus, who made a plan for us. He made a plan to save us and rescue us from our sin. Why did he do that? Because he had compassion on us. But what did it require? It required courage. Courage to go to a cross to pay for our sin, to rescue us and to give us our new life. Jesus is our deliverer. And that's one of the beautiful things that we have as a heritage in Christ. We have examples all through Scripture of those who showed this kind of determination and this type of compassion and this type of courage. And we see it perfectly displayed in Jesus. But those of us who belong to Jesus are called to live the same kinds of life, to have compassion for the lost. And that compassion for the lost, may it drive us to make a plan to share his love with people in our lives. You know, we think about this time of quarantine that everybody's experiencing. This is giving us more time with people we love, and we should share that message of love with those closest to us. And it's important that just as Moses' mother came up with a plan to see her son delivered, who would then become the deliverer of Israel, that we might think about the same thing, to pray for those that we love, and ask that God would give us wisdom on how we can share with them. And then courage. Courage to share the message. Courage to speak when we might be afraid. And I believe that God will surprise you and I if we step out in faith and we trust him in all these things. My last question is for anyone who might be watching, who might not have a relationship with Jesus. You know, the same one who delivered God's people Israel sent his son so that we too might be delivered. Delivered from the bondage of sin, from the shame that sin brings, from the guilt that's a result of what we've done that we carry around all the time. Do you know if you turn to this Jesus, you can experience the same deliverance, miraculous deliverance that Moses experienced, that every person who places their faith in Jesus experiences? You turn to him and he will save you. It begins with a relationship with him by trusting in his atoning work for you on the cross. Turning from our sin, recognizing that what we've done separates us from a relationship with him, but believing on the sacrifice of Jesus made in our stead, that he died for us and then he rose again, and that it's through him that we receive new life. Have you called on Jesus to save you? If you do, he will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you are our deliverer. You rescue us. Lord, when times seem impossible and hard, you do that. You are such an amazing God. We pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today who might be watching this video, Lord, who senses that you're calling them to follow you. Lord, we pray that right now they would say, Lord, I'm a sinful person. I need a Savior. I'm in bondage to sin, and I need a deliverer. So I turn away from my sin. I turn away from my old way of life. I place my trust in Jesus. I believe that he died for me and rose again. And Lord, I pray that you take my life and use it for your glory forever. And Father, for these believers who are watching today as well, Lord, we pray that you would make us a people who are determined to live for you during this time, who are compassionate on those who are lost, and that we are courageous to speak your words of love to a world that desperately needs it. We pray all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to close our time together with a song. It's been a blessing to spend this time in worship with you, and we pray that God will continue to strengthen you each day, keep you safe from the virus, but more important than that, will draw you closer to himself. Thanks for watching.
It's not my song.